Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to Wigham Baptist Church to our worship service this morning. Just a few announcements and then we'll open up our worship service with prayer. Had 31 in Sunday school this morning, so I'd like to encourage you, if you're not a part of a Sunday school class, we have classes for all ages. And please come and study God's Word with us on Sunday mornings. Annie Armstrong goal is $1,500, so they should be envelopes in the pews. You can put your donations in there, or your giving in there, or if you write a check or something, you can just designate it to make it out to Wigham Baptist Church, but designate it to Annie Armstrong. Please plan to stay with us today. We'll have our fellowship meal after the morning service in the fellowship hall, so please stand. Please plan to stay in fellowship with us today. Don't forget, the trunk-a-hunt is Wednesday at 6 p.m., so please come and have that time, spend that time with us. We will have hot dogs and also there'll be food there also. Easter sunrise service is next Sunday at 7 a.m. here. It's the community sunrise service, so please plan on attending that. Breakfast will be served afterwards. We can still use help, and if you would like to serve or something, just get with one of the ladies, Sissy or Jan or Janice or someone, and we can use all the help that we can get, to be honest with you, to serve there. Don't forget next Saturday at 2 p.m., if you can, meet us down here so we can get the church ready for sunrise service. We need to set up tables and do some decorations and things like that, and also a little bit of yard work. So if you can come next Saturday at 2 p.m., just meet us here for that. If you have any ferns, bring them next Saturday also, so we can we would like to use them. If you have any ferns, just bring them so we can use that as part of the decorations of the church. Choir practice at 5:15 today here. Don't forget April the 8th at 6:30 p.m. is the Titus 2 women's meetings. So ladies, please mark your calendars for that. Any other announcements? Good. A lot going on, y'all, which is very good. Before we go to our opening prayer, any birthdays? No birthdays? Elmy prayer, remember the Jesse Morrell family. He passed away, I believe it was yesterday. And that's Jeff Morrell's father. So remember Heather and Jeff and the loss of Jesse, and remember the rest of the family too. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful, Lord, for the opportunity to gather today and worship our risen Savior, Jesus Christ, today, Lord. And Lord, I do just want to lift up the Morrell family today, Lord, as they go through this time of loss with Jesse and all. Lord, just be with them. We know that you will comfort them and guide them through this time, Lord. But Lord, we do just want to pray for our worship service today, Lord. And as we studied in Sunday school today, Lord, if God is present today, and he is present, we know that, Lord, that worship will happen, Lord, as it did with Jacob, Lord. We know that worship will happen, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that we have come ready to worship Jesus, Lord, and our hearts are ready to worship him, Lord. And Lord, I want to lift up Brother Tim today as he proclaims your word today, Lord. Let us just be attentive, Lord, but not only attentive and not only hear it, Lord, but obey it and respond to it, Lord. That is so important. I just pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. I believe we have a mission video, and then Brother Harold, if you'll come and lead us in worship.
I grew up in a ministry home. We were part of great Baptist churches growing up and was familiar with how the Annie Armstrong offering was put to such incredible use.
But growing up in Alabama, it's kind of scary to think that we were going to come out here to try something that we had not done before, that we knew the Lord was calling us to, but didn't want to do it alone.
The context here in Las Vegas is much different than the context in Alabama. And one of that is just religious awareness. 60% of our city would identify with no religion at all. And because of that, I think we have a unique opportunity to introduce them to who Jesus is. It really makes me think of Maki's story. I met Maki for the first time. He showed up at one of our events before we launched called an Invite Night. My name is Maki Pizzolo. I'm a professional MMA fighter, which is a professional mixed martial arts fighter. I never thought that God would allow a person that fights and looks towards violence for a living. But before Figure City Church started, Joseph led me to Christ. And I would say that today, my life is blessed. I couldn't even put it into words. My guy is blessing me left and right, bro. Now that's legit. I didn't know church planting was a thing until I met them, but and I'm looking forward to be able to go out and help make more disciples and really turn the tides in people's lives.
Yeah, so now we're in a space where we're seeing over 150 people engaging at our church. We've seen over 30 professions of faith. So the freedom that we get from the Annie Armstrong Easter offering is that we get to engage with people like my friend Maki. We get to take our time, and then that's where we're able to see the disciple-making process happen and the church be born.
It's hard to believe in this United States that so many people don't know the gospel. We have a line in front of us that we need to be working on. Well, this morning, if you can stand, please stand as we worship together. And we're going to start with a hymn called our song, Here I Am to Worship. The words will be on the screen.
Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're
proclaim the name of the Lord and be saved. Our next hymn, if you're looking in the hymnal, will be 132, There's Power in the Blood. 132.
Thank you. for this wonderful day, Father. We're just going to give you our music and your word, Father. I just ask you to be each and every one here. Lead us and guide us, Father. And Father, I ask you to bless our teachers and our Sunday school teachers and our deacons and our Christian Father and our families and all. And Father, we know this tonight and learning about you, Father. We come here to worship you. And Father, this will be one of Tim's. He brings a message. May we have open hearts and mind and soul, Father, and take it outside these walls and spread your word and your love. And I know we take up this altar when we glorify your name and do your word. I'll say it in Father's name, I pray. Amen. Amen.
This morning we're going to take of the Lord's Supper, and I know that this is Palm Sunday, but we're going to talk about Palm Sunday tonight. This morning we're going to talk about the blood of Jesus, because without the shedding of blood there can be no remission or forgiveness of sin. Many churches have quit preaching about the blood of Jesus. They want you to accept Jesus, but they don't want you to have to feel like your sins cost anybody their life, and that there was no need for Jesus to die on the cross. But my Bible says just the opposite. In Leviticus chapter 17, if you look at verse 11, I want to just start out reading this verse, and then we're going to jump in. And I'll tell you up front, we're going to look at a lot of scripture, but it's going to be quick. So I might have to keep up on the screen, because I don't know if your fingers can fly that fast through your Bible. Listen to what scripture teaches us. It says, for the life of the flesh is in the what? In the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. Without the blood of Christ, no sin could ever be forgiven. No sin could ever be forgiven. Even under the Old Testament covenant and the tabernacle and temple, we've talked about this before, but the Ark of the Covenant or the mercy seat, the blood was sprinkled on it. Inside the Ark of the Covenant was the Ten Commandments, right, that God had given to Moses. And so in a very real sense, when the high priest would sprinkle the blood onto the mercy seat, as God was looking down temporarily, that blood made a covering because of our sins. And because of the blood, God did not see the breaking of the law that we had committed. blood is mentioned 427 times in Scripture. Wow. They say if you cut the Bible anywhere, it'll bleed. And that is true because it is a thing that runs from Genesis all the way through Revelation. When we think about the blood of Jesus, we realize that Jesus himself spoke in Matthew 26, verse 28. He says, "For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for what? For the remission of sins." Without the blood, there could be no forgiveness. Hebrews 9:22 tells us that according to the law, almost all things are purified with what?
Blood.
And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, that's the one we just read. Colossians chapter 1, verse 14, it says we have redemption through his blood for what? For forgiveness of sin. Without the blood, there is no forgiveness. And if without the blood and no forgiveness, that means every single one of us is on our way to hell. Because without the blood of Christ, there could be no forgiveness. Blood is important. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. Anyhow, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19 says, "You were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus." Because gold can't buy your way into heaven, silver can't buy your way into heaven, good works can't get you into heaven. The only thing that can get you into heaven is by believing in the shed blood of Jesus Christ himself. Matter of fact, 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 says, "The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." But it's not just any kind of blood. Because under the old sacrificial system, they were to bring the blood of bulls and goats. But the author of Hebrews said that the blood of bulls and goats could never take away the sins of people. It could never take away our sins. It was just a temporary covering until Jesus Christ came and he lived a perfect life and he died a perfect life and he shed his blood for sinners such as you and I. I want us to look at just a few things this morning. That first of all, the blood of Jesus Christ was perfect. Amen. It was perfect. It wasn't tainted. As a matter of fact, Matthew chapter 27, verse 4, Judas said this. He said, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it says, "For he," meaning God, "hath made him," Jesus, "to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." It is only through his perfect blood that you and I have the opportunity to come into the presence of Almighty God. When he died on the cross, he shed his blood, his perfect blood, so that you and I could come into the presence of God. When he died on the cross, remember what happened? The veil of the temple was torn from where? From top to bottom. That means that we were no longer separated by a veil, by a wall between us and a holy and righteous God, because the blood of Jesus is what changed that. And now when we believe in Jesus Christ, we can come boldly into the presence of Almighty God. John chapter 18, verse 38, Pilate even said, he says, "I find no fault in him at all." Wow. You know, we can sure find fault in people, can't we? But here's Pilate, and he's saying, listen, I can find no fault in him at all. In Hebrews 7:26, it tells us that Jesus was holy, he was harmless, he was undefiled, he was separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens. When we see the blood of Jesus, we realize it is perfect. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22 tells us who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. 1 John 3:5 says, in him there is no sin. You see, the blood of Jesus was perfect. It wasn't defiled by sin. Because here's the thing, there have been millions of people throughout the years who have given their lives for others. Amen? Because if you've had somebody in your family that served in the military and died fighting a war, they died for you. Why couldn't their blood save you? Because their blood wasn't perfect. Their blood was not sinless like Christ's was sinless. The Bible tells us, I'm going to skip on down to my next point here. The second is the blood of Jesus is pure. It's not only perfect, it's pure. If we'll go on down to Hebrews chapter 9, verses 13 and 14. The blood of Jesus is pure. Now, I'm not knocking them, but I am kind of. Some denominations, when they take of the Lord's Supper, they actually use what? Wine. We can say it, right? Wine. But now, we don't use wine, and I'm going to tell you why we don't use wine. Because for wine to be wine, it has to go through a fermenting process, right? And it has to rot, then it has to be cleansed and purified and filtered and all this stuff. The blood of Jesus Christ was never defiled, amen? It was never rotted, it was never imperfect, it was pure. And so when we take of the Lord's Supper, we're going to take grape juice, 100%, amen? No fillers, no artificial flavors, it's 100% righteous. Because why? Because it represents the purity of the blood of Christ. Just like when we take of the bread, it's not going to be bread that has yeast in it, or as the Bible would call it, leaven. Why? Because the body of Jesus was not defiled. It was not rotted. It saw no decay. The writer of Hebrews chapter 9, verse 13 says, for if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling of the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your consciences from dead works to serve the living God? You see, it's that blood, that pure blood, that washes away my sin. We sang the song a while ago, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 1, verse 18 and 19, I know I've quoted this, I'm going to quote it again, I'll probably quote it another time or two before we get done. But Peter wrote this, he says, you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by the traditions from your fathers, because sometimes those in religious circles try to teach us things that don't align with Scripture. Amen? But we got to know the truth of the Scripture so we can tell when they're not telling us the truth. But what are we redeemed by? Well, verse 19 tells, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish, blemish and without spot. Here again, it is the pure blood of Jesus that saves us. Thirdly, the blood is perpetual. It's perpetual. There's a song, let me think about it. It just came to my mind and it ran out. The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary. Well, we sang that song, right? it'll never lose its power. Did you hear me? We sing the song, the blood will never lose its power. Now, you can go to the Dollar General and buy you some Energizer Bunny batteries, right? They say they last and last and keep going and keep going. But sooner or later, what's that battery going to do to itself? It's going to run out. That power is going to drain, just like your cell phone battery, right? That they drain down after time, but the blood of Jesus never, ever loses its power. So whether you're saved for 1 minute, 1 hour, 1 day, 1 week, 1 month, 1 year, 100 years, the blood of Jesus is never going to run out of power. It has the power to save you and I. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 10. Listen to the goodness of Jesus. Because as we see Jesus right here, it says that Christ, it's speaking of Christ, who does not need daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifices first for his own sin and then for the people's. For this Jesus did once and for all when he offered up himself. Listen. Here again, going back to the Old Testament times, what did the high priest have to do before he offered up sacrifices for the people? He had to go cleanse himself first. He had to offer up sacrifices for himself. He had to go through the process of first bringing himself into a right relationship with God by doing all the things that were commanded of him. And then and only then could he offer up the sacrifices for the people. But he had to do it every year, right? Every year on the Day of Atonement. And that would be one busy priest, wouldn't it? Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12 tells us that not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once. What does it say? Once for all. Some denominations teach you that if you sin, you lose your what? Your salvation. Can I tell you that's heresy? If you're truly saved, if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can't lose your salvation, because if you could lose it, you could never get it back. Jesus paid the payment once and for all. Hebrews, it's not up there. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. You can look it up when you get home, write this down. It talks about that if you could lose your salvation, that you're putting Christ on in open shame again. What the writer of Hebrews was saying this is simply this. If you could lose your salvation, every time you sin, Christ would have to step down out of heaven again, live another perfect life, and be crucified again and again and again and again, because one time was not enough. But my Bible teaches me when Jesus died on the cross, he did it once and for all. Thank God I can put my faith in him. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse... Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12 said, but this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. You see, his payment was total. When he cried out on the cross, it is finished, Everything that needed to have been done was done for you and I to have a relationship with him through his blood to God the Father. Hebrews 13:20 tells us, "Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, and that great shepherd of the people, of the sheep, excuse me, through the blood of the what? What's that word? Everlasting. So does that mean that it runs out if it's everlasting? It's forever. It's an everlasting covenant. It's not going to lose its power. Fourthly, the blood is powerful. We sang a song a while ago also. There's power in the blood. Do you believe that? That there's power in blood? Would you be free from the burden of sin? There is power in the blood. How much power? Well, if you've ever taken the time to read the book of Revelation, I'm going to throw just two verses at you from Revelation. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 says, "Thou hast redeemed us to God by thy" what? "By thy blood." Yeah, here it is. "Have went out and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and peoples and nations." That takes power. That takes power to redeem us by his blood. Revelation 12, verse 11. "And they overcame him." Who is the them referencing in that verse? It's referencing Satan. "And they overcame him by the blood of" who? "The Lamb. And by the word of their testimony, they did not love their lives to the death." In other words, they were willing to serve God no matter what it cost them. Fifthly, the blood is permanent. The blood is permanent. Have you ever watched a courtroom setting where the judge issues an acquittal on somebody who's being charged with a crime? What does acquittal mean? In America, listen here, we're going to put this to the test. In America today, if you have been acquitted of a crime, you can never be tried for that crime again. Amen? Now think about that in the presence of God with the blood of Jesus covering our sins. He has declared us righteous through our faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. He has declared us justified, because he can do that, right? He can justify us, but in the same sense, there is that acquittal that my sins can never be used against me ever. Now, Satan's got the accuser of the brethren, right? He's going to keep on trying to accuse us. But when we stand before God and covered in the blood of Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven through faith. Our sins are gone. Look on down to Isaiah 44. Listen, you said, "Well, I know when I trust Jesus, my sins in the past have been forgiven." We kind of understand that. But sometimes we have a problem with the mistakes we make today. Right? Mm-hmm. Because we say, "Well, I knew better, but I didn't do right. And God probably, he's going to kick me out because of my sin that I messed up. And I did the wrong thing, said the wrong thing. Just whatever." And so we said, "Well, okay." My Bible tells me in Lamentations that God's mercies are new. How often?
Every morning
God's mercies are new. So that means that no matter how bad I messed up yesterday, God has forgiven me and he has given me mercy this morning to get up, to have a another chance to do right what is right. In Isaiah 44, verse 22, listen. Our past sins are wiped out. Listen to what the Lord said. He says, I have blotted out like a thick cloud your transgressions, and like a cloud your sins. Return to me, for I have what? Redeemed you. He has bought us back. Now, how did he buy us back? Through his blood, through his body, through his death on the cross. He has set us free from our past sins. Psalm 103, verse 12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Aren't you glad that through the blood of Jesus, he has forgiven you of all your sins, past, present, and future? Jeremiah 31, verse 34 says, I will forgive their iniquity and their sin. I will remember no more. He forgives our past sin, he forgives our present sin, and he forgives our future sin. Now, does that mean I should just run out and act like I'm just don't care and just gonna live how I want to live? No. I think that is to trample under the blood or under your feet the blood of Christ. I think that is for you to say, well, I don't really care what it costs him. And I don't think a true believer should think that way or live that way. First John 1:7 tells us the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, past, present, and future. But have we believed in that? Sixth one is blood is precious. Blood is precious. Now, y'all ladies, you might run around saying this. Guys, I don't know. How many of y'all use the word precious? Now, we got a cat. That's about the only time I use the word, right? Because that's her name. That's just not a word that's normally in my vocabulary. It's precious, you know. But the blood of Jesus is precious. Amen? Yeah. It is precious. And when you think about Peter, here again, I say we're going to look at this verse again. 1 Peter 1:19. Listen to what Peter says. He said that we have been bought. Verse 18 says we have been redeemed. Through what? Not through gold and silver, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Think about this. The blood of Jesus is precious. It's not something to take lightly. It's not something to abuse. It is precious. And because it's precious, when we accept Jesus Christ and his offering of blood for the forgiveness of our sins, the Bible says we are adopted into the family of God. We are heirs of God and joint heirs of who? Jesus. Man, that is precious for somebody to say, listen, I don't care what you've done in the past. I've got you covered. I want you to be part of my family. I'm going to love you and treat you just as if you were my own. I'm going to hold on to you. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to give you everything you need, not just for today, but for all of eternity. It's permanent. Seventhly, we think of the blood as being protected. In Exodus chapter 12, in verse 13, let's give you a little background here. Remember, God had told Moses to go to the Pharaoh at the time and tell him, let my people go, and time again. Moses went to the Pharaoh and said, God said, let my people go. And the first couple of times, the Bible says that Pharaoh hardened his heart, and then the rest of the time it says God hardened his heart. But on that 10th plague that was brought on to the Egyptians, there was something God wanted the Israelites to do. And that was to take the blood of a lamb and take that blood and put it on the doorpost and the lintel. And he said in verse 13, he said, "Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." Can I ask you a question this morning? I think it's still morning. Yeah, 10 more minutes. When Jesus looks down on you this morning, does he see the blood of Jesus covering you, covering your heart, covering your life? If so, I believe it would be just like at the Passover. I believe that when Jesus looks on us, he doesn't see us. He sees the blood of his son, Jesus, that was shed for us and applied to my life. But for those houses who the blood was not put on the door, there was no covering of blood on them, they experienced the judgment of God on them. Amen? And that is the same way true today. For those of us who don't have the blood of Jesus applied to our lives, when the judgment of God comes upon us, what are we going to say? I knew about it. I heard, but I wouldn't do anything about it. Because here's the thing, it was not enough for the Israelites to know what to do, right? They needed to do what they had been told. So in reality, their salvation, so to speak of, was because of faith. They believed, and when you truly believe something, you're going to act on it. So my question for us today is, as Jesus looks down this morning, does he see the blood of Jesus covering our hearts and lives? Are we under the blood, so to speak? And when he looks down on us, does he see people who need to get under the blood, who need to trust in Jesus Christ and what he has done for them? How about you today? Are you that person? Are you that person that says, I know what to do. I believe in God, but I really haven't never trusted him to be my Lord and Savior. Can I encourage you today? You don't know if you have tomorrow. I don't know if I have tomorrow. None of us knows. Why take a chance? You know what to do. You know who to believe. You know that there's power in the blood. You know it's perpetual. You know it's protected. You know all those things now. What are you going to do about it? It's up to you. In just a moment, we're going to sing a hymn of invitation. But as I've already stated, we are going to take the Lord's Supper this morning. And I want us to look quickly at what Paul tells us to do when we take of the Lord's Supper. In Corinthians chapter 11, Paul gives some instructions to the church on how we should take of the Lord's Supper. And this is not to alienate anybody, so please don't take it this way. But Paul writes this. He said, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself," and that means women too, young people. Let man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment. And the rest I will set in order when I come. So what does that mean, Brother Tim? That simply means this. If you're not right with God this morning, get right. If you're not right with somebody else this morning, get right with them. If you're not saved, don't take the communion. Parents, you say, well, that's kind of hard keeping my kids from doing it. You're teaching them a lesson. You're teaching them about Christ and how we should treat him and his body and his blood as we take of the Lord's Supper this morning. Are you saved? Do you know it for sure? Are you covered by the blood? Are you right with God? Are you right with others? Altar's open. We stand with you. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for, Lord, all that you have done for us. Through the blood of Jesus, Lord, you have provided a way for each and every one of us to be covered by your blood. Lord, you have done all that was necessary. Lord, all we had to do is believe. Put our faith and trust in you as the one who can save us. We can't save ourselves. Our family can't save us. Our friends can't save us. Only your blood can do that. Only your blood has the power to accomplish that. So, Lord, today I pray for the one who may be here who has never trusted you, that today would be that day, that they put their faith and trust in you. Lord, I pray for the one today who may be like the prodigal who has gone astray. Lord, I pray that they would come home and confess their sin. Lord, for the one who's not right with a family member or loved one, Lord, I pray today they would get right with each other. Lord, we can't claim to be right with you if we're not right with one another. So, Lord, I pray that you just have your way in this time of invitation. Lord, help us to cleanse our hearts through your blood. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.